Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to a quarantined episode of Sour Graps. I hope you're all sheltering in place, practicing good social distancing if you have to go out. It's no joke. We'll talk about it as we talk about Raw, because there's no way to get around it now. Although they're trying to, kind of. At least they're not addressing it, honestly. But I wouldn't expect them to. Oh, I'm your host, Alex Pulaski. Everything sucks. You know what sucks? There's a virus going around. It's going to kill a lot of people. It's going to make a lot more people sick. And a lot of people right now have it and have no idea that they have it. And they can pass it on to somebody else. So that's fun. You know, and our entire economy's in collapse. So it's great. I wish this was full of alcohol. And I also wish that I still drank. Let's talk about Raw and about WrestleMania and how everything that WWE does for the foreseeable future is going to take place in an empty, tiny arena at the Performance Center. And why I hope they will realize soon that something needs to be changed with how they write and perform these shows. So, starts out with, unbelievably, still, Phillips and Lawler and Saxton. Now, I don't know. Maybe Graves will be back in the booth on Friday with Cole. Maybe that was just kind of like a last minute thing. They didn't know what they were going to do, and Graves couldn't get there from wherever he was because of travel or whatever. But the happy accident of putting Triple H in the booth to needle Michael Cole the whole time was just inspired and brilliant. And I hoped it was going to be Phillips and Triple H on Monday or something. But it's this, they're like, wow, this is weird, huh? Raw at the Performance Center in it with no crowd, no fans. This is weird. Gosh. What a weird thing is happening. We could address why it's happening and also all of the precautions that go along with that. But we're not gonna. We're just gonna just not address that. It feels so disingenuous for them to be like, wow, this is weird, huh? Guess we're just gonna do it though. Okay. Anyway, here's Edge. And it's just a weird deal to have Phillips and Jerry Lawler and Byron Saxton standing there in the middle of the ring go, wow, well, this is weird, huh? Anyway, here's Edge. There's some steam pyro. He's going to do his pose. And he's like, he comes down to the ring and say, well, says Randy Orton, gosh, yeah, roll the footage. He says, roll the footage. Like, this is not only is it entirely different, and do you have an opportunity to like be creative and do something brand new with your broadcast, you also are just like saying, like, we're not talking about at all what's going on. And at some point you're going to have more people on your show than like
one promo, one person in the ring, one promo, one person in the ring. There's a match with two people and another person who's commentary for that match. And then I think Zelina was out there to stand by that ring. So that's like, I don't know, was that six now? Yeah, six. And then four more in the Undertaker segment. That's 10. Already we're at the limit. The CDC says no more than 10 people in any one spot. So already that's 10 plus three who are on commentary, plus who knows who's running the cameras and stuff. But it's weird. Like, you have a roster of like 50 people, it feels like, who are on Raw. And a bunch of them aren't there, and you're not going to mention that they're not there. Their storylines are dead. We're not going to talk about them. WrestleMania's in a couple of weeks. And they say, well, you may have heard the reports. WrestleMania's in a couple of weeks, and it will be from here in the Performance Center. It will not be in Tampa Bay at the Raymond James Stadium. Anyway, here's the entire Royal Rumble match to watch. Like, why? Like, talk about the process that just somebody fucking be honest. For once in your goddamn lives, WWE, like, come out, take accountability, say we made this decision because of this. This was best. We thought this was best. And listen, we'll talk about Raw specifically. But I understand because nobody knows how long the whole social distancing, nobody gather in one giant event. Nobody knows how long that's going to go on. It could be 6 weeks. It could be 8 weeks. It could be 12. It could be 6 months. We honestly have no idea, because we do not know how this country will react to a bunch of people getting sick and dying. Like, we don't. It's only going to get worse between now and April 5th. So it would behoove them to, like, say, okay, here are our plans. I'm assuming they've got to have some kind of plan in case they're like, okay, listen, even your little, you know, nobody in the audience WrestleMania, that ain't going to fly either. But I understand why you don't want to postpone it, because you're postponing it until when? July? I don't know. August? Maybe. Who knows? Postponing, it's really hard to do. But even if they had only kept the previously announced matches for WrestleMania before last night, that's 6 matches, 12 people in the matches. They're all singles matches. That's it. Done. Walk away. But then they spent last night adding more matches to it. So it's, I don't know. I know there's all kinds of stuff they probably scrapped from it. You're not going to see the US title defended there, I don't think. You're not going to see the IC title there. None of the tag belts, I don't think, are going to be defended. So it's going to be a bare bones thing, but we're all adjusting to what this is. But having Edge come out to his steam pyro, do his pose, and then walk to the ring on a handheld mic again and do roll the footage is just a weird way to just be in denial about what's happening. Like, I guess he's my brother-in-law, like twice removed. My wife's sister's husband thinks it's all a giant overreaction. It's all the media and the libs who are manufacturing all this panic. It's not real. None of it's real.
I heard the Chinese military developed it. So there are those people who are out there, but it's very real. Doctors say it's real. I trust the doctors. So denying that it's happening is a weird flex. The promo Edge delivered was outstanding. He delivered it directly to the camera. He didn't address the throngs of people who aren't there, thank God. But it was a monologue, a very serious monologue delivered to Randy, who's not there, directly into a camera. Now, I took several acting for the camera classes, you know, and they teach you not to talk directly into the camera, but some teachers are cool with that. But this is what that is. It's like you're delivering a monologue to somebody who's not there. And he's being very serious. He says, you know, this is what it was when you take it down a notch and you go, you know, and it's little, I'm not really sure if I should tell you this. Well, okay, but I'm not going to be able to make eye contact with you when I say it. So I'm going to look over here, kind of, you know, Randy, when Beth came to Raw 2 weeks ago, she was coming there to retire for me, which is a great little wrinkle that, had Randy not attacked Beth, then Edge would have just gone away, which is what Randy wanted, but now Edge is going to have to murder Randy at WrestleMania in front of nobody. Like, of all the matches I know they were planning on doing at WrestleMania, like the real WrestleMania in Tampa, of all the matches they were planning on doing that I hoped they would, like, let's wait and see on this one. We can postpone it. We can heat up that feud again. If, like, let's say everything clears up miraculously by midsummer, we could do a SummerSlam Randy Orton versus Edge match, like in Boston. People would go nuts for that. Let's wait and having Edge have his first real match back in front of nobody. And hopefully, if the booking is good, winning that match to no cheers, no pop, nothing, because there's nobody there. It's going to be so weird. The whole thing is so weird. I don't know. I mean, honestly, they could be doing all WWE stuff could be done from the Performance Center from now until 4th of July and beyond. I don't know if I'll ever get used to it. It's so weird. Professional wrestling demands a live audience of some kind, reacting in real time to what they're seeing, so that we at home can gauge our reactions based on the reactions of people who are in attendance, if that makes sense. It's gonna be so wrong
to see Edge win his first match back against Randy Orton in a last man standing match and there be nobody there. That's gonna be so weird. I can't even picture it. Yeah, so yeah, he challenges Randy Orton to a match, a last man standing match at WrestleMania. Last man standing matches are hard anyway. But I guess you won't have the entire crowd there counting along with the ref. Yeah, man, it's just going to be so weird. I don't know, I even know how you do it. I don't know how you pull it off. I really don't. But again, I honestly don't know what the alternatives are for the entire show. I feel like you could heat up Orton and Edge whenever you wanted. Like, even if it was for next year's WrestleMania, you could heat that shit up in a couple of weeks and get it back and ready to go. Like, that's a match we're going to want to see whenever you give it to us. So it doesn't have to be in
2.5 weeks for nobody. It doesn't have to be that. You could wait. Speaking of not waiting, this was a live show. They did this live. They taped all this. They didn't tape it. They performed it live. Beth Phoenix got on Twitter and said, because of travel issues, Edge had to drive 17 hours to Orlando to give that promo in person to no one. He wasn't even in the ring delivering it to Randy, also in the ring. It was to nobody. It was to a camera. If he was going to deliver the promo to a camera anyway, couldn't he have just done that shit from, like, via Skype? Or recorded it and emailed the file to Vince, and then they roll that fucking footage? You're making this guy get in his truck and drive 34 hours round trip, where every gas pump he stops at could be covered with a potentially deadly virus. That's, like, irresponsible at best and unconscionable. Unforgivable. If somebody... They're making all their people travel to Orlando every week. It's only going to get worse. Next week, it's going to be worse. Like, if you, I don't know what the numbers were as far as infected across America were last night, but whatever they were last night, expect for them to be much higher than that number next Monday, and then the Monday after that. Just have everybody come down for a weekend. Quarantine them in the performance center. They must have beds there. Have them do a couple of matches, film some segments, and then send everybody home and tell them to wait it out. Every time you put one of your guys on a plane and have them fly from wherever they live back down to Orlando, that's an opportunity they have to get the virus. And you can have the virus, a lot of people do, and don't have any symptoms. But they're still super contagious. So if one guy gets it because you put him on a plane to go from wherever to Orlando, and then he's in the locker room with all the other guys and he passes it to them, all of a sudden you got no WrestleMania because your entire fucking roster's got the COVID. What are you doing? You have to be smarter than this. You have to be smarter than this. It's not like I'm – it's so awesome that – willing to figure out a way to give us weekly entertainment, especially when all the sports are gone. Like, that's awesome. I mean, the show must go on, and I think that's admirable to a point. But the point is, and where it's not admirable anymore, and where you cross that line, is when one or several or all of your roster winds up getting this thing. And then what? And then what? You just got to be more careful than this, man. And if they don't have a match and they don't have like a face-to-face segment or whatever, just a promo about how you're going to beat so-and-so's ass at WrestleMania, that can all be done like into your cell phone or your laptop and emailed to somebody. All of that can be done remotely. You can even put up a little bullshit lie live via satellite. I won't mind. I promise. I won't mind if you lie that it's live via satellite, but it was actually taped the night before at the person's house. Do it that way. That's so much less risk of anybody getting infected and passing it on to
somebody else in the locker room, or, you know, a cameraman or whatever, who's got his mother-in-law who's staying with them. And oops, now the cameraman's mother-in-law's got it, and now she's dead because she's 90. You know? Like, just, it's not a friggin' laughing matter. Like, people are getting this, and they're dying of it. Be smarter about how you expose your talent to it. Whatever. I'm able to talk about this at length because, you know, they put the whole Royal Rumble match, all of it, the whole men's Royal Rumble match on Raw, which I guess is cool for people who didn't watch the Royal Rumble originally and didn't see, you know, Brock eliminate everybody. And then, you know, Drew McIntyre emerge, the conquering hero, and Edge make his big return at Mania. They didn't see any of that at Mania, at Royal Rumble. That must be very cool for them to get to see it. And I understand that you need to fill 3 hours because you need to fill 3 hours and you can't bring all the people there. It's never going to feel right. Anyway, Drew McIntyre won again. You know what else doesn't feel right? Becky Lynch got herself an Optimus Prime. She got a Mack truck thing, and she's got it covered with decals, or it's airbrushed with her own face. And this is another example of Vince thinking the baby faces should just behave like Vince would behave. Like, do you know how narcissistic you have to be to buy a giant Mack truck, not trailing anything? It's not like she's got a tractor trailer, like a trailer, a semi-trailer behind her, like where she's just, you know, dispensing Purell and boxes of mac and cheese and cans of soup for free to everybody. That would be interesting, like a little nice thing that Becky Lynch, the baby face, could do. But like, I have a big truck, and my big truck has my face on it. It's so you know that it's me driving the big truck. Like, what a fucking asshole that person is. I'm supposed to root for, like, that's narcissistic personality disorder 101. And there you go. Vince, narcissistic personality disorder 101, thinks everybody who you root for should be like Vince. It's a weird thing. I'll never understand it. Like, have her drive up in a nice car. Why is it a giant truck? What is that? It's not a pickup truck. It's a giant semi. It's a Mack truck thingy. Like, what? She's not hauling anything. She's not a big rig driver. This is not the Blacktop Bully from back in WCW. I don't know what... Oh, man. It's pointless. And then it also, like, shows off what an, like, insurmountable ego that somebody has to have. It's not confidence. It's not like, I'm confident in myself. Therefore, I have this truck with my face on it. It's a fucking cry for help. So, there's a contract signing. build for Taker versus Styles. Now, the contract signing was billed before the whole "everybody go home, we're not allowed to have shows anymore." So like, well, we said we were going to do it, so we got to do it now, even at the show where nobody's going to be at. So, like, we guess we got to have Undertaker come out, but it's Jerry Lawler in the middle of the ring with a table and the two chairs. And then Jerry Lawler's standing there in his ridiculous, terrible Ed Hardy shirt. And he's like, you know, he's got his little microphone. He's like, and this is just, it's just Jerry Lawler being the worst, being terrible at everything that he does. And doing like, well, here's the contract signing for a WrestleMania match between AJ Styles and this man. This is the face that he honestly makes. This is the face that he makes. If you are listening on a podcast, imagine a terrible face. This is the face he honestly makes. And this man, The Undertaker. Like, I don't know what that is. Why is that? Why is that the face you decide to make? What face is that? Anyway, The Undertaker, his dong hits. And The Undertaker's dong hits, and he walks down to the ring, and he just, the fastest entrance he's ever made. He's not wearing a shirt. Maybe the shirt he was wearing is like tied around his head because it's a weird looking bandana do-rag thing. And he comes down to the ring. I can't stress this part enough. He's not wearing a shirt. He's got his big MMA gloves on, and he just steps into the ring and flips the table. Just flips the table. Silence. Because, again, there's nobody there. Like, you know, when they ever say, oh, it's The Undertaker, or his dong hits out of nowhere and the whole arena goes black and the crowd loses their mind because it's, hey, the fucking Undertaker's here. Well, that doesn't happen because there's no crowd. So it's really, really weird to have The Undertaker enter to nothing, to zero, to silence. And then he gets in the ring and flips the table, and Lawler just fucks right off. He's out. He's done. He leaves. And before the table can come to a rest, before it's like actually stopped bouncing around after he flipped it, commercial. Like, abruptly like that. So it honestly looked to me like Taker came, it felt to me like Taker came down to the ring and was not supposed to flip the table. And everyone panicked and just went directly to commercial. It felt like it was Undertaker is doing like, well, everybody else is doing monologues and stuff. Is this kind of like beginning acting class in college where there's always that one kid who, you know, like, okay, your scene partner. Mark, you're going to do a scene with Jerry. Okay. And then Mark and Jerry, they meet outside of class time, and they decide where they're going to stand and where they're going to sit, like what the furniture is going to look like and all that stuff. This is called, in acting parlance, blocking. So they agree on the blocking of the scene, where they're all going to stand, what they're going to do. And then, inevitably, I can say this from 3 years of teaching acting classes, inevitably, there's one kid who decides on the day the scene is to be performed that he is going to A, wear a completely different costume than they have agreed upon, B, bring a weird prop in that doesn't exist, like something like that. Well, wasn't the case with Undertaker last night, but I just wanted to mention that. It always happens. That prop was not supposed to be there, but he decided to bring it anyway. Or completely change the blocking. Right? And it felt like Mark, Undertaker, completely changed the blocking on Jerry. And he was like, you know what? I'm out. I'm going to take the incomplete. I'm just leaving. I've had it happen in a class, man, where it's like, Mr. Pulaski, I don't know what that was. Like, that wasn't what we rehearsed. Like, it's okay. I know. I could figure that part out. When he flipped the table and you ran away, I figured that wasn't part of the scene.
Yeah, that was just so weird. I don't understand that. Mark, what are you doing flipping the table in that manner? And then they came back from commercial and was like, well, apparently the Undertaker is very upset because there's not a contract on the table. Oh, is that how that works? Okay. And I guess that was the angle from the beginning. Because then AJ Styles, which is wonderful, in a delightful bit of Turnabout is Fair Play. Longtime viewers of Fightful will remember the old, hey, AJ, I'm up here. AJ, I'm up here, AJ. From the great AJ versus Jinder Mahal feud, where Jinder Mahal appeared on the Titantron and just said, hey, AJ, I'm up here. I'm up here, AJ. And then AJ had to turn around and frantically find him on the Titantron. And it was so hilarious the way Jinder did it that all of us here at Fightful made fun of that for months. And now it's AJ up on the Titantron saying, hey, Mark, it's me up here. Undertaker, me, it's me up here. I'm over here. Anyway, he's like, hey, I got a contract here. And they talk some more shit about, you know, Undertaker's wife. And did I mention they play that a video package of the promo from AJ last week? Isn't that amazing, man? I just want to bring this up. It's amazing to me that it's only been a week. Like I forget where they were, but they were supposed to be in Pittsburgh last night. They were somewhere, I forget. And that place was packed. Packed. I hate to bring it up again. A lot of people who were there had the virus. Several people had the virus there. They didn't know it, and they spread it to somebody else. That's how that shit works. And it's crazy to me, like, the following night, Rudy Gobert was like, oh, whoops, I've got it, and I gave it to everybody. And so NBA season canceled. March Madness canceled. NHL canceled. XFL canceled. NFL free agency. Well, that's still going to go on. Unlike WrestleMania, Tom Brady is coming to Tampa Bay. I got jokes. It's just so weird to me that like a week ago, we were like, nah, this is fine, whatever. It's not a big deal. And all of a sudden, boom, everything changes. And a week later, we got Undertaker flipping a table and there's nobody there. It's weird. Okay, anyway. AJ says, all right, I'm going to sign the contract and we're going to have Carl. He's going to come down and give it to you. Carl's like, all right, I guess I'll do that. I don't want to, but I will. But hey, Luke, you come with me. So they come down there to give him the contract, and then Taker, the lights go out, and like Taker, moves as fast as he must have ever moved in his life to like teleport when the lights are out. And then behind Gallows and Anderson, who are like, gosh, the only place he could possibly be that I'm not looking right now is behind me. Uh-oh. And they turn around, they see him, and then he beats him up. So Undertaker is teleporting in an empty arena where nobody is there to react to it. It's just so weird. It's so weird. Anyway. He beats up Anderson and Gallows. And AJ, who is, to his credit, practicing good social distancing. He doesn't want to get anywhere near Undertaker, who's very old. And you got to protect the elderly because they're the ones who are the most susceptible to really bad cases of the COVID. So AJ's like, let's keep our distance. So Undertaker signs it. So there we got a match.
Yeah, he Undertaker, he signed the contract and he stuffed it into Anderson's mouth because, you know, he's the Undertaker, so he gets to do whatever he wants. Hey, we had a match. I don't count the Royal Rumble. We had a match. A match that took place in the Performance Center. Rey Mysterio defeated Andrade. Andrade is the U.S. champion. It was a 9 title match, so he lost it. Because if you are a tag champion or an undercard champion, your entire existence is just to lose non-title matches. That's all you're there for. And then eventually, one of the guys you lose a non-title match will be put into a title match, and then you'll cheat to become to stay the champion. I'll never say no to these two guys fighting. That's fine. It's okay. Whatever. Again, this is something that they could have done. Like, they had these guys there last night. After everybody goes home, have them wrestle again. Tape it and then show it next week. This time Andrade wins. I don't know. 50-50 booking, LOL. I don't know. It's gonna be so weird when they decide to bring everybody back next week. But the whole country's gonna be in friggin' lockdown by then. Who knows? Who knows? But the best part of that match, and indeed the entire night, is Asuka was on commentary for a match that has nothing to do with her. I think because she lives in Orlando and she can't get back to Japan because, like, she can't because it's, you know, travel restrictions. So since she's already there, why not just have her come down and scream things in Japanese during a match between two Mexican guys? That's a great idea. Let's do that. Honestly, that's the kind of thinking outside the box you guys need to be doing. That was so much fun. Her just cheering on Andrade, screaming stuff in Japanese. I need to have a translation of everything that she said. Gosh, she's fantastic. I love Asuka. This new version of Asuka is, I can't say enough good things about it. I want like the dream three man booth for all of the Performance Center stuff is Michael Cole, Triple H, and Asuka. Just get it done, WWE. Get it done. It's a match. It was a decent match. It's a good match. It's a pointless match. Thanks for having a match on your wrestling show that lasts 3 hours, guys. That was nice of you. Like the Royal Rumble, I think that, like, they stretched it out with commercial breaks. They played the whole thing in its entirety and then added commercial breaks. It was like 1:36. So they made a bunch of promos and one match last 1:24. Again, with commercials. Becky Lynch, she of the airbrushed Optimus Prime, came to the ring and cut a promo on Shayna Baszler, who was watching from backstage. Like, I hope they had her film a promo while she was there, and then they're going to do that promo next week. There's no reason to bring all of your people there, let them go home, and then bring them back a week later. There's so much opportunity for them to get the thing you don't want them to have. If one of the major players or even one of the minor players at WrestleMania has the virus, you got to cancel the whole fucking show because you don't know who's got it. And who could give to somebody else? And who could give that person? Who can give that to somebody else? Like, You got to be more careful with all this stuff. It just... Anyway, Becky Lynch is cutting a promo on Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler is there watching from backstage. But she doesn't actually confront Becky because, why not? But she says that, Becky says something about how as long as she's champion, then Shayna Baszler's life is a lie. Okay. I think Shayna's idea is that by the end of Mania, you won't be champion anymore, and she will. So, yeah, like she's like, okay, good. Right, I don't want my life to be a lie anymore, so that gives me all the motivation I need to kick your ass at WrestleMania, such as it is. It's a weird promo. Delivered well, but a weird central idea for a promo. And again, she comes to the ring and the steam and everything comes out, and she comes and she does her thing where she wears the thing around her waist, the title around her waist, and then she stops at the top of the ramp. She unbuckles it and holds it up for nobody. Nobody's there. Are you holding it up for Byron Saxton? He knows you're the champion. I know you're the champion. I mean, it's the thing that you do when there's a whole crowd and they can all go insane for you because they're very happy that you're champion. So you showing them the belt makes them go, ooh, yes, I remember now. She's the champion, and I'm very big fan of that. Like, you do that when there's an audience. When there's no audience, there's no reason for you to hold the belt up. But then she gets in the ring and she does her pose where she climbs up on the ropes and she holds the belt up. There is, and I can't stress this enough, nobody in the audience. So it doesn't make any sense for you to play to an audience that isn't there. Unless you're doing it ironically, and they weren't. Yeah. Kevin Owens did a promo from backstage. He accepted Seth Rollins' WrestleMania challenge. So now we get another match at WrestleMania. And he said that, you know, you didn't come through the Performance Center, Seth. I did. When I first got here, I was here knowing that everyone wanted me to fail. They wanted me to fail so they could prove to themselves that they were right about me, that I'm not a WWE guy and I'm not cut out for it. I'm not what they want, and I had to prove them wrong. So this place is very important to me because it is where I busted my ass every day to prove them wrong. I love this place, and it is why I'm very happy that this place is hosting WrestleMania, because this is where I will kick your ass. And that's a very, very good promo. Charlie Caruso started it out by, hey, please welcome my guest at this time. Who are you talking to? Please welcome my guest. I'm at home on my couch. I'm not welcoming anybody. Please welcome my guest at this time, Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens is like, you know what, Charlie? Thanks. I'm going to take it from here. He takes the microphone and pushes it away. Why is Charlie even at the Performance Center? Why is Charlie there? You made her fly all the way down. I don't know where these people live. Somebody was telling me that Kevin Owens lives in Orlando now. If that's the case, great. He gets to, like, you know, hop in his car and drive over. That's fine. But anybody who doesn't live in Orlando, you're making them get on a plane and fly them into the... God, it just doesn't make any sense. Again, great promo. Could have easily, and I hope they did a lot of these yesterday when everybody was there. All of these promos, all these backstage segments, all the promos, and all of it can be taped. All of it. All of it can be taped. All the matches, everything can be taped. Everything. You don't need to do it live. It's asinine. Especially when you have guys like Edge who are driving 17 hours each way to cut a promo to nobody. Anyway, so it was supposed to be, it was 316 day. Austin 316 says, I just whooped your candy ass. Or no, that wasn't candy ass. He didn't say candy. That was The Rock. Hoo boy. So Stone Cold comes down. He's here. He was supposed to be at, you know, in Pittsburgh at the big arena. And then they were like, well, we have to do a thing. It's Stone Cold Day. It's 316. So he came to the ring and he did the beer stuff, but he came to the ring and it was cute to begin with. Like, he was doing the thing, ironically, it felt like to me, where he would come down to the ring, walk to all four corners and throw up his arms, do a thing and drink some beer. Like, you know, where the crowd, like, he gives the chance for every corner of the arena to get a chance to take out their cameras, because this was the Attitude Era back then. They didn't have camera phones. They got their actual cameras and wind the film on the camera and take a picture, because, yes, there was actual film and cameras back in 1997. So that's what it felt like to me. He was, like, doing a little reprisal of that, and that's fantastic. I liked that a lot. And then he comes down to the ring and, like, if you was something, give me a hell yeah. And the camera cut to an empty section of the audience. And, of course, there were crickets. And I was like, that's great. Fantastic. That's a really good way to start the promo. Let's see what happens after that. And what happens after that, he says, I said, if he was something, did give me a hell yeah. And then Byron Saxton does, hell yeah! And then Austin's like, what? And then I think I'm pretty sure that Byron Saxton says, hell yeah, again. And then Austin starts talking about how he wants 316 to be a national holiday. And here are some note cards that have things that happen on this national holiday, 316, Stone Cold Day. And so he starts reading off these terrible, you might be a redneck if jokes. Like, one of them, on Stone Cold Steve Austin Day, the speed limit is just a suggestion. Stone Cold Day, you don't have to listen to your boss. Something like that. I mean, it's what? And then Byron Saxton starts holding up big posters of numbers to signify the rating for how good the joke was, which, like, and Stone Cold, because no one has explained what the hell's going on, has to say stuff like, what's that? Are you rating me? Are you rating the joke I just told? And then Byron Saxton's like, yep. Like, if you have to explain the bit is shit. So they do this forever. At one point, Stone Cold had this cute, the note card was upside down. So he read it upside down, which isn't a thing. He said, blah, 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 blah. Oh, whoops, it's upside down. And then he said something that wasn't funny. And then Byron's like, 8, 6, 9. It didn't make any fucking sense. So eventually he invites He invites Saxton to the ring so they can drink a beer together, and then he kicked Byron. Was supposed to be, I'm pretty sure, in the gut, because that's how that works normally, but he kicked him dead square in the balls. I know this because Stone Cold Steve Austin later tweeted out, "I want to apologize to Byron Saxton for kicking him dead square in the balls." So he hit him with a Stone Cold Stunner to Byron Saxton, and then Becky Lynch brought a whole cooler of beers to the ring, and they had a beer bash where they hit the beers together and they drank a lot of beers. Then he gave Byron Saxton another stunner, and that was the end of Raw. And man, I was so disappointed in all this shit. I wanted Stone Cold to come down to the ring. The first bit, like, blah, 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 give me a hell yeah, and there's nobody there. It's like, okay, yeah, this is a little different. It's a little different, something I'm not used to. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only son of a bitch here who's going to be honest with you. But here's what's going on. Because nobody else on commentary anywhere in WWE was honest about specifically why they were doing it and the precautions they were taking. And like, you're the WWE universe. I hate that term, but the fans' health is number one priority, which is why we're doing it this way. But we are taking precautions to make sure that everybody, all of us, stay healthy too, because we got to stay healthy so we can entertain you every week. And have a little PSA. Like, it would mean a lot coming from Steve Austin to a lot of the people who are the people who are like, it's all a hoax anyway. If Stone Cold Steve Austin tells that guy it's not a hoax, maybe that guy doesn't wind up accidentally giving it to his grandma or something, you know? And it'd be kind of cool to have Stone Cold say something like, you know, if we all band together, then we can open a can of whoop-ass on the coronavirus, you know, and get just something uplifting and badass and fun, very Stone Cold, you know, to let us, you know, like, it's, we got to work together. We got to be smart. But if we all, you know, come together, we can beat this thing. Something, you know, rah, rah about it. And Stone Cold's always been the kind of person who's been, we always feel like he's the one who's been honest with us, even when the truth hurts. That kind of a guy. We need that guy. And instead we got a comedy bit, a terrible comedy bit, you know, and a bunch of stunners. That's it. That's all we got. And I got a lot of people who, you know, tell me, well, we hear about the coronavirus all day. I don't want to hear about that. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I heard from a lot of people who were hoping that Stone Cold would do something like that, like a something uplifting and something we could all rally around. But instead we had Byron Saxton holding up giant numbers and Steve Austin doing really, really terrible comedy one-liners off of note cards and a bunch of stunners. The stunners are fun and everything, but it's awesome, the WWE. It really is. It's awesome WWE is continuing to run the way they're running. But I want to be reassured that they're taking the proper precautions to keep their roster healthy, especially because they're not even fucking employees. They're independent contractors with no safety net, no employer mandated, you know, benefits and health insurance and whatever. It's not. I want to make sure you're taking care of your guys and your girls, Vince, and not asking them to drive 17 hours during a fucking plague. Be smart about it. I want to know you're being smart about it. That's all. Because I don't know what your contingency plan is for if Drew McIntyre wakes up with a fever on the day of WrestleMania. I don't know what your contingency plan is for that. Vince, I don't trust you to have the right one. I want to be able to trust the people who are working behind the scenes there. And the way you do that is be honest with people. So be honest with people. Be honest with yourselves too, out there, Fightful Faithful, and your families, and be smart about it. I cannot stress this enough. This is no joke. It's real. It's dangerous. And I love you guys. You guys let me do this. It's already hitting our community. We got members of the Fightful Faithful who haven't been diagnosed yet because you can't get a test for it unless you're famous or rich. But the doctors are telling people, yeah, you probably have it, so be careful. Quarantine yourself. Be careful. Wash your hands and I got nothing else to say. Everything sucks.